remember, glorify God, and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience. Providing counseling from a Christian perspective, he specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart.
Exodus chapter 4, if you go to Exodus 4, and get me verse 22 of Exodus 4. Moses was given instruction by God to speak unto Pharaoh. And he said, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." Now here's Pharaoh trying to put harder and harder labor, rigor on them so that they can't even breathe. No semblance of family, no family life, no individual life, no community life. It was slavery. But God is countering that act by saying, "Moses, go to him and tell him that Israel is my firstborn. They are my son." In other words, God in the spirit dimension is establishing their identity. Now, I want to tell you something about the firstborn. All through history and all through Israel's history and all through history, the firstborn son could never be a slave. The firstborn could never be a slave. Now, here they are slaves. But God is telling Moses, go tell him, these are my firstborn. In other words, in the spirit realm, God is establishing something. There's war going on in the spirit. Pharaoh, God is hardening Pharaoh, but yet he's telling Moses, tell him, these are my firstborn. I want to show you something about the firstborn. Go with me to Colossians. Give me Colossians 1 and 18. Look at someone while you find that and tell them, you are his firstborn. Can we accept that? Can we receive that tonight? That we are God's firstborn. Even though you weren't born first in your family, you are a firstborn. In the sight of Almighty God, you are the firstborn. Okay, now look at this. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Now look at this. This is Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Next verse. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Go back to verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church who is the beginning, the church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The firstborn. Somebody say firstborn. Now, the characteristic of a firstborn is that in all things he has preeminence. Come on, we're going to deal with the slave mentality. Israel was in bondage, but God said, these are my firstborn. The thing about the firstborn, and Jesus is firstborn from the dead, but we are his firstborn. As we read there, Israel is my firstborn, my son, that in all things he might have the preeminence, superiority, domination. I want you to get this in your spirit. The firstborn in all things has preeminence. This is the battle over identity. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Okay, now, remember, Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father. And it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, here establishes the preeminence of the firstborn. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Next verse. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, we are his body. We are the body of the firstborn. Tell somebody again, I'm the firstborn. Now, Christ has preeminence over all these things. And what we read there have to do with everything that exists. He has preeminence over it. And he is the head of his body, and we are his body. So that means that we are one. We are seated with him there in the heavenly place. Hello? On the right hand of the Father, we are seated with him in the heavenly place. Where? Far above. Tell somebody, I'm far above. Now, my job, let me say, my endeavor is going to be to bring our thinking, because it's all about what's dwelling in your soul. This is who we are, whether you ever think so or not. Amen. Whether you ever think so or not, whatever your circumstances are trying to dictate to you, they are not who you are. This is who you are. Tell somebody, I got preeminence in every situation, in every circumstance. Moses had to communicate that to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh got more hard. But God was the one behind the hardening of Pharaoh. Say this with me. It is impossible for me as a firstborn to remain a slave. Come on, say it again. It is impossible for me as a firstborn to remain a slave. How many know tonight that both the darkness and the light are being managed by God? And it's for the purpose of his church, the apple of his eye. Okay, let me say this again. The firstborn has a status and he cannot be a slave. Tell somebody, embrace God's identity for you. Say it again. Embrace God's identity for you. There's going to be a shift here tonight. No more pushing it off. No more, you know, for a later date. No, somebody's going to take hold of it tonight. Yeah, it's going to shift. You're going to shift tonight. Things are going to change. Amen. You're going to see what God is saying and what God has already done and who you really are. You're going to begin to see it, not just in glimpses here and there, but you're going to begin to walk in this thing for real. Amen. All right. Now when we have, or when we embrace our correct identity, when you embrace it, this is so important. First, this is the first thing, because if you see yourself as a slave, see, let me go back. Even in the history of this nation with slavery, it was one thing to write up, sign, and pass the Emancipation Proclamation. It was another thing to change the mentality of the slave. After so many hundreds of years of slavery, and as all you know, it took more than just writing something on a piece of paper and saying, you're free now. What is free? Okay, so correct identity disconnects us from this system of the world which God is currently and will be in the future judging, and it connects us to the life that flows from eternity, the Zoe life, the Zoe life. When Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he went on, he said, but I come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Now that life, come on, that life is not just getting up in the morning, you know, and just barely making it. Thank God I woke up this morning. No, no, no. He's talking about, when he said life, that word is Zoe. That's the highest quality of life that there. Matter of fact, let me take it a little further. That's the uncreated life. That's the God life. Come on, that's the God. That's the life of God. That is not a life that was created from something else. That's not a life that's contingent upon how you feel. It's not a life contingent upon whether your circumstances are favorable when you wake up. Amen. It's not on how well people treat you. or how much money you got in the bank. None of that stuff. It's the Zoe life. It's the life of God. It's the can you grasp that? The uncreated life. He said, I come that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. That word abundant is super abundant in quality and in quantity. Come on, we're going to kill the slave mentality. You're going to be so full of life, you ain't ever going to think about slavery anymore. You ain't ever going to think about that dark past anymore. Because you're going to be too full of life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. Stop thinking downturn. No, that's for the world. At the same time God is managing darkness, he's managing light. Our time is to rise now. Our time of deliverance is now. Our time of breaking out is now. Our time of increase is now. But we got to get it right in our mind that souls got to prosper. Are you listening to Pharaoh? I remember a story. You've heard me tell this before, but I worked for a bakery company in Chicago for a few years. Small little outfit. The grandfather, that father I knew well, the guy that ran the bakery, we were cool. But the grandfather was wicked. I mean, really wicked. And he would really try to load me up with stuff. You know, I mean, on holidays, because I kept my truck spotless. You know, breadcrumbs and stuff. Bakery trucks get filthy. Well, I would spend every Wednesday, maybe an hour and a half after we come in from work, and clean it up and everything. And he just didn't. I know what it was. He didn't like the devil in him didn't like the Jesus in me. That's what it was. That's really what it boiled down to. I'm being kind when I say this, because he was wicked. And one time in particular, he just loaded me down on a holiday. Loaded me down with stuff. I couldn't even get into the truck hardly, you know, because of stops I would have to make. And initially I was kind of, you know, disturbed and angry. And I said, well, praise God, I'm just going to leave it to the Lord. Praise God, just going. I'm not going to let this devil, you know, steal my joy. Went on my business. Stopped at my first stop, got my coffee, you know, and then they always gave me pastries and stuff. Went in there, and everything was fine. Did that stop. Went to get on the truck to start it back up. The truck wouldn't start. This was unusual. That never happened before, but it just wouldn't start. And I mean, you know, I let it sit. We went under the hood, and it just would not start. And I had all this bread. I mean, this was the holiday. This was the Christmas holiday time. And I mean, we were going to unload for weeks, you know, a couple weeks. I had to call the office. And guess who answered? Granddad. He had to bring a station wagon out. And when he brought the station wagon out, there was nothing. We couldn't jump it. Nobody could tell what was wrong with it. Just one of those God things.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part two of our series entitled Transformation, Breaking the Bondage, Part 2. My spiritual vehicle has been in neutral for too long. There's a shift currently taking place. Saints of God must know how much of a giant they truly are. The Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 40, And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? The disciples were tired from sorrow and fell asleep with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples had checked out, but Jesus continued to pray prevailing prayers. James 5:16 says, Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man shall avail much. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.